In the business world, so many people think that scoring is based on how big your net worth is or how much money you make. And it's really unfortunate because I think true bred entrepreneurship almost doesn't give about all the collateral that comes along with it. It's art. You just love doing it. And we've got to find our balance. Much like the chat I had up front, as I spend the next half decade refining what I talked to you about up there and what I'm talking about right now, is we have to change the definition of success. We have to. It cannot be the flex. We cannot put expensive watches and cars and bank accounts on a pedestal. We must get away from that. But that doesn't mean we demonize it either. We have to make it about the process of the game. We've got to find our way, because right now we're over here. We've got to find this. I think that people in business are confused. I think that the way that business is branded is misbranded. I think people think that if you're kind, you get walked over. And I think that is absolutely asinine. I think that a lot of people who claim they're being walked all over are actually just trying to manipulate situations, and it didn't work out the way they wanted to, so they use "I got walked all over" as excuse. I'm kind as none of you are walking over me.
I watch people give advice completely predicated on natural talent and DNA, and I'm like, look, like, I get it. Like, I can throw a football every day for 9 hours a day. I'm just not physically built to be competitive at the highest levels. So yeah, I do think, you know, if anybody watching right now, if there's anything they take away, it's like, look, like, you're gonna only be so pretty, you're only gonna be so smart, like, you, like, there's things that are gonna be natural, and there's things that you can actually control. I do believe, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong, I don't, but I do believe that work ethic is a taught behavior. It's something you do have more control over.
So much of what I've always felt as an entrepreneur was a vulnerability of a school system. Is not the cliche stuff that you might see in my content, but just by nature, all of us spending the majority of our youth in a system that grades us every 90 days, and we pander to a subjective reality within that, really sets us up to eliminate our creativity and our curiosity, makes us subconsciously conform to the short term, and inherently makes us lack patience. The other thing I'm spending a lot of time on is how much we struggle with our relationship in time and with time. You know, we get sold so many things like life is short, which, you know, I think all of us at this point know, depending on the context that you look at a statement or a situation, it changes the altercation. But so many of the rules in society of when you're supposed to have your life figured out, get married, accomplish, is predicated on a world where people live to 45 years old. It's just the reality of it. So much of what we're affected by is how our grandparents were affected by their parents and grandparents, and those f***ers were dying at 40. Of course you should have your life figured out at 30 when you're dead at 47. But we haven't adjusted. You know, 1880 may seem a long time ago, but it's stunningly not. And when life expectancy is in the late 30s and early 40s, and now we're 75, 85, 90, 95, I just think that there's so much confusion in the system, and I just think that we need to have different conversations. Let me give you an example. A different conversation that we need in the business world, that's where I'll keep it, but it's clearly a societal statement, is I'm genuinely struggling why anybody should not be kind. I've watched in the business world for the last 20 years, people justify being cruel to the people that they're a manager of or their admins because they're stressed. I'm sorry I scolded you. You don't get it. The client had me in a bad day.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. with digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
We have completely accepted bad behavior off of... I'm really passionate about this. If you're a leader by nature, your job is to stop pressure at your level, not deploy more of it underneath you. I think that we need to just do better. And I think that I'm passionate at this point in my life to really start talking about the nuances that are very clear to me, that sustainable things are grounded in very good virtues, and that we have to start recognizing that soft skills will continue to dominate and gain momentum because hard skills are starting to be commoditized. The most insecure place I've ever been in was the fear of confrontation, which blows people's mind because on stage and public persona, it's candor is my strength. But in real life, I hated candor because my father was very aggressive with candor, but very negative. And I wasn't able to separate the vehicle he was deploying the candor in from the value of candor. So for 25 years of my career, I was anxious every time I decided somebody had to get fired. It completely put me into spirals. I would avoid it. It was always sloppy. It, to a T, every person that's ever been close to me in business that works for me or worked for me that doesn't love me is based on one thing, my inability to be candorous. And it's been a very big shift for me in the last 3-4 years. The new book is called 12 and a half. It's about 13 attributes, but I call it 12 and a half because I'm only halfway through my journey on kind candor. And I needed to create the word kind in front of candor to even begin to deploy candor. And it has led to an incredible amount of unhappiness in my life and career was my inability to be candorous, which is wild because my content is incredibly candorous because I'm not talking to anybody. I'm talking to everybody. But when it's Steve or Sally or Johnny or Nicole or Karen, it was very hard for me. And so now I do it.
The average income in the US is $54,000, $55,000. The top 1% of earners in America make $450,000 a year and above. If you make $450,000 a year in America, you are very, very, very wealthy. We don't even begin to think somebody's got anything going on if they don't make $1 million a year. And $1 million a year in all the craziness now feels like nothing. Right? So I think we have the conversation super wrong. And then there's a whole nother convo. Do you know how many miserable fucks I know that make $4 million a year and hate their life and everything sucks? And do you know how many people that make $130 or $65 that I know that love life? Like, we have a complete convo of what success looks like. We need to have important conversations around self-esteem and FOMO and all this other. If your happiness is predicated on if people think you're awesome or this, that, you're gonna be in trouble. You're vulnerable to outside affirmation, which is the quickest way to get into spot. Luck is part of the equation. Now, do I think I'm lucky? I do not think I'm lucky because the confidence, which is great parenting, by the way, maybe a little luck in that, one could debate, and definitely just kind of the overall skills and the hustle, which is DNA. I don't know if you can be taught to work your face off. So I think it's just a mixture. And I think that that is something that people need to recognize, feel comfortable with, bet on your strengths, and execute.